Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning. It is morning, I think, right? Okay, maybe. Is it spring forward or was it spring back? I wasn't sure, so I thought I'll just plan on spring forward. In the worst case scenario, I'm early. Right? So I just figured out. It's always better to be early than late, right? Unless it's like a firing squad. Then you don't. Then it's good to be late, right? So anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for just all your goodness and being so faithful to us. And so I just want to give you the thanks this morning. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak through me in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Right? So I'm taking you all over the place this morning, so hang on with me, okay? I'm going to start in Galatians 5, then we're going to go to Deuteronomy, probably going to go to Exodus, we're probably going to go. So hang with me, guys, right? We're going on a trip. So I want to read Galatians 5, 1 through 9, and it says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for what?
Freedom.
That Christ is what? Oh, that's awesome. So it says then, stand firm in keeping the law perfectly.
No,
it don't say that? Oh, it just says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And he says this, mark my words. I tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be no value to you at all. Okay, time out. Okay, why is he saying that being circumcised will have no value to you at all? Paul was a Jew. Paul still is a Jew. He's in heaven, right? Paul's a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. The dudes who wrote the Bible, they're Jewish, right? They're not telling the Jewish people not to keep the law. What he is saying is he was struggling with them as soon as they find Jesus and understand the great I am that I am and come to Jesus. People would come and say, okay, now that you are saved, in order for you to maintain your salvation, you have to be circumcised. Otherwise, it's no effect to you, right? And so that's what Paul was hitting at. He was saying, it's not the physical act that saves you. It's the spiritual belief and regeneration by the Holy Spirit that saves you and sets you free. That's what Paul's saying. So he's battling this. So he's telling them, hey, it's for freedom that Christ sets you free. If you want to be circumcised, then be circumcised. If you have that conviction that you won't need to be circumcised, then be circumcised. But don't make that a prerequisite for a Gentile to be saved, is what he's talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anytime, I got to take communion 3 times a day, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Anytime that there's a stipulation put on it other than believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. That's it's a false teaching, actually. It's slavery. And it's putting you back into what? A yoke of bondage, right? And it sucks the life out of you and doesn't allow you to live. Can we get that? I have a thing. There we go. Okay. Is at the top. Okay, here we go. These guys want you to focus on that because we're going to go to the Old Testament here in a second. So, now for my Jewish friends. Okay, on the eighth day, they're circumcised, right? Nowadays, you're circumcised at the hospital usually, right? And so he's not telling the Jewish people not to be circumcised, right? He's not saying that there's something wrong with circumcision. Let me get that clear, right? What he's saying is to the Gentiles, these are grown men. And they're trying to get circumcised thousands of years ago. 2,000 years ago, right? And how like the hospitals they have now. It is a big deal. You hear what I'm saying? And so, but the very point we got to remember is it's about faith in Jesus and not allowing anyone to put a burden or a yoke of slavery back on us, because it's for freedom that Christ has what? Set us free. And then he says this, mark my words. I usually only heard my mom and dad say that. Right? I usually knew if I was hearing that, I was like, they didn't want me to get a notebook. It's like, I had to kind of line out because I was in trouble, right? So Paul's trying to adjust them and say, hey, it's what you're doing is putting people back into bondage, and it's not coming from God. Does that make sense? I, Paul, tell you, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Why? Because you put more emphasis on circumcision saving you than you did on the sacrifice that Jesus made at the cross. That makes sense? Technically, you made yourself God. You made circumcision your God. You made what you did save you rather than resting in the finished work. Does that make sense? So the Bible's pretty clear when you, especially Paul, like he didn't mince words. Like, I love that dude. He says this, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the whole law. So now he's saying, do you know there's 613 commandments? They're not just 10. Like we talk about 10. But there are 613 commandments. But the rabbis talk about how they're positive commandments because they allow us to keep up with God. And so his commandments are not bad. But under the law, if you miss one little piece of the law, you're guilty of every bit of it. That's why there had to be a sacrifice. And guess the only person all of history who never needed the sacrifice was Yeshua, was Jesus, right? Everyone else, all Israel, all Gentiles, all everyone, I don't care who you are, you needed the sacrifice, right? The perfect sacrifice. And so, and those sacrifices were just types and shadows of who? Of Jesus, who once and for all died and became our sacrifice, and now when we rest in his sacrifice, then we're saved. It's the same thing the Israelites did when they had the temple, is they knew when the sacrifice was made that they were okay. And they could rest in that. And so we don't work for victory. We work from victory. So here he's telling them, he's like, if you obey the whole law, he said, if you obey part of the law and they put you under part of the law, you have to obey every stinking part. Can I say stinking in church? I do in cowboy church. I was just like, sorry. If you're offended, hold your nose. I don't care. I don't know what to tell you, right? I might stink, right? Right? But you gotta keep every last bit of the law. When the scribes would write out the Torah, rewrite it out, if they missed one little jot or tittle, do you know what they'd have to do? Which is just little bitty punctuation things that go on top of the, like you see the crown on top of the core up there, right? You miss one of those, and you're halfway through, or you're one line from being through, you know what you do with the whole thing? You scrap it, and you start over. Can you imagine that? Like, I wonder how many they threw away before they got it Like, I'd never get through one, right? So, but you have to keep the whole stinking thing if you're going to depend on it in your own self. How many of you guys can keep the whole thing perfectly? Is it just me? It's funny, I was at Safeway getting gas, and this dude rolls up, and he's in a new Toyota pickup, and I know a guy in here who loves the Toyota pickups, but as I walked by the back of it, it said, don't judge me unless you're perfect. And so I walked in, and I couldn't help myself. I walk back out. He looks like Bob Marley, man. He's cool, dude. He's got the, like, we used to do the bandanas, you know, over our hair like that when we played football and pull it on under our helmets. But he was, like, cool. Knew he was cool. So I walked by and I said, hey, dude. He's like, hey. And I was like, I'm perfect, but I'm still not going to judge you. And he said, I appreciate that, man. And I said, you know what? That's why I'm perfect. Because if I judged you, I would no longer be perfect. You hear what I'm saying? Even if you think you're perfect and you're judging someone else, you already disqualified yourself from being perfect because Jesus himself said, don't judge, right? Make sense? So it goes on and says, again, I declare to you, every man who lets himself be circumcised is obliged to obey the whole law. And if you don't obey the whole law, you're guilty of every bit of it. You're no different than Hitler or Mao. Oh, you can't say that. You know how evil they are? That's what God's word says. Those same kinds of things. You're guilty of the worst things ever. That's why we needed a sacrifice. That's why we needed Jesus, right? You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Now watch this. You are trying to be justified by the law and have been alienated from Christ. Do you know what alienated you from Christ? Yourself? Trying to keep the law yourself? Trying to keep the law in order to be right with God? You actually alienated yourself from Christ. If I can do good enough, then he'll love me. If I can do this, he'll love me. I was watching a video, and this guy, this young preacher was preaching on God's unconditional love, and the title was, This is Unprecedented and Just Irredeemable, the Worst Message Ever. And they played a tidbit of it, and he was saying how great God's grace is and how he unconditionally loves everyone. And then this old preacher gets up, not real old, probably like, I don't know how old he was, but older than the kid. And he says, what a shame. Doesn't he know that means everybody was saved by the blood of Jesus? And how are they ever going to come to Jesus if they don't know that they're rotten and going to hell and they have no worth? And I was like, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. For so many years, we've allowed the hellfire and brimstone, and it's repelling generation after generation after generation, when if we would just give them the truth, like this young preacher was doing, then maybe they would know that Jesus has died for every person that lives now, that had lived after his death, and that will live from now on. The penalty, the price has been paid once and for all. It don't just happen like, oh, you said this magic prayer, and now all of a sudden I'm paying for your sins. No, you're just coming into agreement with what he's already done for you. You're surrendering to the finished work. And that's believing, and that's what brings us to salvation. Does that make sense? It doesn't just hop on us once we say the prayer. It's already done, but we get the opportunity to come into agreement with that, and we get to choose between life and death, not good and evil. What are you going to choose? Right? So he says, you who are trying justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. And grace just isn't something that we get. Grace is a person. And his name's Jesus. Right? But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is what? Faith expressing itself through judgment. What? I couldn't hear that. Expressing itself through
love.
You guys are on it, man. You got right your A game, right? The only thing that counts is expressing itself through love. That's the small. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You're loving the Lord, you're loving yourself, and you're loving other people. That's faith expressed. Now he says this. You were running a good race, man. You were winning. I know what that's like. Winning and crashing on the last obstacle. I get that. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What is the? It's the obedience of faith. It's obedience. He said believe. So we rest. It's obedience to rest. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Okay, now I'm gonna read it from my phone because it's more from the Hebrew Bible, and I think it's called a parashat. And every Sabbath, the Jewish people read the same from the same portion of Scripture. So it's a portion of Scripture. And so this Sabbath they were reading is called the Parashat Zakor. And it's Remember Amalek. So you'll see, can you guys see that up there? That's Zakor. And Zakor means remember. Get it? When we do Passover, it says to remember. Like, what does remember mean? It means to literally, like, when we do the Passover, we literally, like, as we're remembering, it's like we're going through it with them. Like, we're literally placing ourselves in that place. We're remembering that as if it is as relevant to us today as it was back then. Does that make sense? So now we're going to, I'm going to read this because this is powerful, and I can't say it any better than this rabbi says it, okay? This Shabbat, which precedes next week's Purim celebration, guess what, next week's Purim, and it all ties in, beginning next Thursday evening, is known as Shabbat Zakor. On Shabbat Zakor, we take from the Ark an additional Sefer Torah and read from it, following three verses from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. So what they've done is they're taking another two verses or three verses of Scripture and they're adding it to the portion, is what he's saying. Does that make sense? And it says this, you shall remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you went out of Egypt, how he happened upon you on the way and cut you up. That's in Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 19. You shall remember what Amalek did to you on the way to Egypt, when you went out of Egypt, how he happened upon, happened upon you on the way to cut off all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore, it will be when Hashem, the Lord, your God, grants you respite from all your enemies around you in the land which Hashem, now Jewish people will not say Yahweh or Yud Heh Vav Heh. It's Hashem. Hashem means the name. Okay? Which Hashem, your God, gives to you as an inheritance to possess that you shall obliterate the remembrance of Amalek beneath the heavens. You shall not forget. Every Jewish adult is obligated to clearly hear these three verses, as they are formal fulfillment of the commandment Zakor, to remember Amalek. Amalek's unprovoked ambush of Israel, who had only days before it exited Egypt and crossed over the Sea of Reeds, is first mentioned in Exodus chapter 17 through 18. So what's happened is, as the children of Israel were coming out, they crossed the Red Sea, and they're going to the Promised Land, and there are people who were starting to straggle behind. So what do the Amalekites do? They come in and they sorted them off and separated and started killing people. And so Moses said, you know what, we're going to have to defeat them. So do you know what Moses did? They got an army together. And they went out and they went on a hill. And they fought. And as long as Moses' hands were up, they had victory. But when his hands weakened, do you know what happened? They started losing the battle. So he had his brother Aaron and Hur, not a Hur, H-E-R, H-U-R, like Ben Hur. I don't know what that means, but what? Right? They'd get on each side, and they would hold his hands up. And when his hands were lifted up, they won, and they won the battle, right? So now God said, because of that, he said, you know what? You suckers, you attacked them with no cause, and you knew they were God's people. You've seen all these miracles, and do you know, because of that, I'm going to wipe you out from the face of the earth, right? So here they gave them a great miracle, and they move on and they go through, and obviously they get to the Promised Land, right? Years later, the Jewish people, or the Israelites, asked for a king. And what did God do? He gave them what they asked for, a guy named Saul, right? So Saul went, and Samuel told him, he said, you're to take out the Amalekites, and you're to destroy them all. Not just them, all their animals, everything that they have. So what does Saul do? Him and his army go, and they wipe them out, everything, but he has mercy on who? On King Agag. Right? So he has mercy on King Agag, and as he has mercy on King Agag, and brings him in, and then they're like, you know what? These sheep are pretty nice, and this is pretty nice, and so I think we're going to keep... It's stupid for us to kill all this nice stuff, and why don't we just bring this stuff back? And Samuel comes to Saul, and he's like, why didn't you do what I told you? Because I did. I wiped them all out. And he says, what is the bleating of sheep I hear in my ears? And do you know what he did? He failed to kill Agag. He failed to finish off Amalek. You know who did? Samuel did, right? Like, well, Pastor James, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it's pretty powerful when you understand. The numerical value, Amalek. It's messy. And Sephic. That's okay. You just have to believe me. And Sephic have the same numerical value. So the rabbis equate Amalek as Sephic, not Sapphire. Those letters. Sapphic means doubt. Now watch this. My son was telling me about a story, and I thought it was pretty cool. So in Harvard, they did this research. And so they got like a group of 50 people, and they made these brownies. Like, they were awesome brownies. And so they fed them these brownies, and they gave them some brownies, and then they come back the next day, and they say, hey, we have some more brownies for you. And they're like, yes, and they could smell them. And they smelled good, looked good, were perfect in every way. Except they said, but we made one ingredient change. They said, okay, what was it? And they said, we put 0.1% of dog poop in it. If you don't like poop, I could say feces, or I could say, you thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? I can't say that in church. You know what I mean? Dog poop. The stuff that comes out the ends of dogs after they eat when you walk them. They put that in the brownies. Still smell good. Still look good. 0.1% was all that was in it. Do you know how many people ate it? None. Why? It's gross. It's gross, right? 11. See? Leaven. What? A little leaven what? Leavens the whole bunch. A little bit of doubt. In fact, just 0.1% of Sephic or Amalek can cause you to quit running your race and to be cut up on. So I got the answer for you. Can you read that? Get the dog poop out of your brownies. Is that too real? You guys will never forget this. That's what he's saying. Get the dog poop out of your brownies. If it's got 0.1%, don't eat it. Right? Well, that doesn't have no power. And I don't like if I don't think it has power, then it doesn't. You know what? I don't think that light socket has power either. That electrical thing. I'm going to take one of those knives and I'm going to stick it in there. You know what's going to happen? Do you know why? Because you don't have to understand something to feel its power. I don't understand electricity. Will does. I don't. But if I stick my fork in there, stick something there, I'm going to feel its power. Right? So how do we get rid of the dog pooey? Surrender. Surrender completely to God. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Not your thinking, with all your heart. You are not your thoughts. What you think creates emotions, and you react from your emotions. Remember, head, heart, hands, right? So you hear a little bit of doubt, you respond with a promise. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. By his stripes, I am healed. You guys get that? What you're doing is you're not battling with your willpower. You're allowing the Spirit to transform your heart and mind because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We trust in him with what? With all our heart. It doesn't say with all of our heart except 0.1%. How many of you would eat that brownie? See, I might. I might. But Jesus said, as powerful as that seems, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. See, we think we have to have great faith. And it's not about eliminating doubt. It's about doing what Moses did. Do you know what Moses did when he was fighting the Amalekites? I surrender it to you. Lord, this is your battle. I don't deny that there's doubts here. I don't deny that there's fears here. I don't deny that I'm hurting and that I'm going through a lot of things. But Father, I surrender it to you. I give it to you. I allow you to work your work in it. That's how you get rid of Amalek. That's how he is taken out. Not by trying to force it by your willpower or your strength, but in complete surrender to him. And all it takes, so you can go like this. It's like, anybody like everyone's looking for volunteers and it's something you don't want to do and you feel bad because you at least want to raise your hand. And so everybody, raise your hand. And everybody's like that. And you're like, don't really want to do it. But this is enough for God. He'll take your mustard seed and he'll eliminate. This won't matter no more. This 0.1% won't matter no more because it's gone because of the finished work of Jesus. We don't have to doubt. We can trust. We can trust in the one who saved us, the trust in the one who loves us. And we can get rid of all that doubt. And we can trust in him. You're like, well, I don't want to get rid of Amalek. Well, let me read this. Pretty powerful. There's a Jewish saying. It says, he who is compassionate to the cruel will wind up being cruel to those deserving of compassion. In other words, if we don't deal properly with those who wish us ill, we will only wind up hurting ourselves. And that just doesn't go. It's not necessarily people and things, but it's thoughts. It's doubts. It's fears. And again, we don't defeat them any other way, but I surrender it to you, Father. You're welcome to come up feeling, because if you're having those feelings, it's ready to come out. Let it come out and let God deal with it. Let God heal it and let him do his finished work and trust him. Now, for the Israelites, it ended up kind of nipping them in the butt years later. As you'd read him the next Sabbath, which is Purim. Story of Queen Esther. Guess what? In Esther chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about a guy named Haman. When I say Haman, you're supposed to go, boo. Okay, Haman. That wasn't very good. Haman. Okay. So, this dude named Haman. One person got it. This dude named Haman. Not all of them. I ain't going on until we get everyone. This dude named Haman. Very good, right? So they talk about him coming from an Agite. Guess where that's from? Amalek. King Agag himself, or Agag, or whatever, right? Now, there's arguments, well, since Agag was killed, how could it be? Doesn't matter. Get over the semantics of it. It still goes back to... Safek. Doubt will cut in on your race. Doubt will wipe you out. Surrender it to him and let him be the God, and you go back to being you. How's that? Sons and daughters of the Most High. So if you take anything from this, remember, get the dog poop out of your brownies. Amen? Amen? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your love. Just continue to allow us to grow in your faith and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.